Please turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 17. As you know, we are busy with the series on God's sovereignty. And today I would like us to look at God's sovereignty over the nations of the earth. I would like to just kind of do an introduction before we pray. I would like to start with a message from that Pastor Vodi Bauchum gave or shared with the people that came to the Truth Matters conference in 2019. He's an African-American, works in Zambia. Last year he had a heart attack, and heart bypass. Didn't have a heart attack, no? He had a heart bypass. Well, I don't know if he's back in Zambia yet, but one of those preachers that I love to listen to. He loves the Lord, and he's not afraid to say things the way it is. And this is what he said at the conference, and I quote, he says, "Race is actually a social construct. The idea of race is not a biblical concept. It's not a biblical idea. It is a constructed idea. You won't find the idea of races in the Bible unless you find it in the proper historical context where we see we are all the race of Adam. One race, one blood. We are all the race of Adam. There is less than 0.2% genetic difference between any of us in this regard. In fact, we're not even different colors. Technically, from a genetic perspective, from a biochemistry perspective, we're all actually the same color. Our color comes from our melanin. We've all got melanin, just to different degrees. So, it's not that some of us are this color and some are that color. No, we're just different shades of the same color. Some of us just have more melanin than others." And then, predominantly a white audience that was sitting in front of him, he said to them, "So please, don't be jealous. Please, please, don't be jealous. Because God decided to give me more melanin than you." And he was speaking to white people. Amazing. It was such an amazing quote. And I wholeheartedly agree with Vodi, Pastor Vodi. See, the Bible teaches us that all human beings are members of the same race, the human race, Adam's race. And we know that Scripture teaches us that all human beings belong to different ethnic groups. The Bible calls it nations. That's the biblical term. Not races, ethnic groups, or nations, as it is said in the Bible. Now, the nations of the earth are made up of people who share the same language, or a common language, common culture, common geographical area. And within every nation, you have families, extended families, and it comes down to the nucleus family, the smallest part of any society, and that would be a mother and a father and children. That would be the smallest part of a nucleus family. And that would be the smallest part of a society. That would be the smallest part in a nation. As nucleus families break up, as we've seen all over the world, and you get single parents and you have two mothers or two fathers nowadays, and the nucleus family that God intended from the beginning, as it breaks up, you will see society crumble and society being destroyed. And at the end of the day, a nation is destroyed and that nation ceases to exist because it's totally destroyed. In one nation, you can get people with a variety of shades of the same color. And by the way, there has been some research done scientifically to say that most probably our forefathers, Adam and Eve, our first family or first parents, that they were brown in color, because all the colors of the earth are taken from that one color, and that is brown. You get different shades of brown. But the idea of dividing people among racial lines, I believe, besides the fact that it's unbiblical, and I want you to understand that it's a social construct. It is something that people thought out. It doesn't come from Scripture. It's not a revelation from God. It's unbiblical, but I believe even more so, it is demonically inspired. It's diabolical. I believe that the focus was shifted on purpose. You see, God created nations. The world tells us that we are divided in races. So if you move away from what God says, then you can create your own narrative. You can create your own reality. And I believe that Satan wanted to undermine, and that's what he does. Nah? He undermines who God is. He undermines God's sovereignty. And in this case, when it comes to this issue, he wants to undermine God's sovereignty over the nations. And all he has to do is to say, no, the division is race-based. The color of our skin. You see, God in the Bible divided one race, and that's the race of Adam, into many nations, not many races. It's an unbiblical construct. It's an unbiblical thing to think of the world like that. And we as believers need to understand that when we look at the world, we look at the world through or from a biblical perspective. We have what we call a biblical worldview, which means we always filter the world and everything the world says and everything that happens in the world, we filter it through the Bible. So we see what God reveals, and then what do? We say what God says, because He's the one who reveals it to us. And whatever you encounter, always filter it through the Scriptures. Now, Scripture teaches us that all human beings come from one blood. We are all one race. Okay? I'll read it to you now. Don't worry. We're going to get there. And we learn from Scripture that God divided the human race into different nations. Now, Satan, as you know, is the great deceiver. No? That's one of his names, is the deceiver. Because he deceives the nations. Interestingly enough, the book of Revelation tells us when Satan is bound and thrown into the pit, the bottomless pit, it speaks about the deceiver of the nations, the one who deceived all the nations of the earth. And what is he going to tell people, the nations of the earth? Hey, you don't belong to different nations, man. You belong to different races. And he's going to cause division in that way because he's against God. He hates God. He hates everything about God. He hates creation. He hates human beings. He hates everything that God created for a purpose. So Scripture teaches us that all human beings come from one blood, that God divided us into different nations. And Satan, this great deceiver revealed to us in Scripture, came along, deceived the nations by dividing the one human race into different races, and then he pinned them against one another. People are fighting one another over what? Racism. Races. South Africa is the best example of that, because that's the only thing that politicians know how to do well. I heard somebody yesterday said that there is such a thing as electric racism, because Eskom doesn't nullify the debt of the people in Soweto. The guy actually said there's something. Can't remember if he said something about electricity racism. So, yeah, you can come up with all the ideas in the world. I believe we need to stick to Scripture. We believers. We're from a different kingdom. We have a different king. The world is not our home. We're passing through this world. We are going home. Our home is an eternal place where we're going to be with Christ forever. We need to think biblically. Stop thinking worldly. Anyway, let me not get carried away. I believe, beloved, if the devil can get people to redefine terms, then he controls the narrative. He controls what people believe. And that's what he wants. He wants control. He wants to control the world. And the way he wants to control the world is to get them away from what God has done and what God says. If Satan can get the world to divide people, human beings, into different races, then by doing so, he undermines the biblical truth that God divided the human race into different nations as he willed. So if there's different races and no longer different nations, then that means that God is no longer in control, no? Because God divided the nations and he's in control of the nations. We know he's also in control of the one race, obviously. So let's please turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Just going to read that one verse. The background is basically that the Apostle Paul is in Athens. That's where he did that amazing philosophical speech, if you may. And at the end of the day, the people wouldn't listen to him because he was speaking about being raised from the dead, people raising from the dead. But because there are philosophers, they wanted to hear more about this. But verse 26 is one of those amazing verses that I love to read every now and then just to remind me as well of who is in control of the nations. Because sometimes we can feel as if God has lost control. Because if we look at the world and we look at what's happening around us, it's chaos. Before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning, to read your word and to find the truth that is written in your word. And Father, as we think about your sovereignty over the nations this morning, I pray, Father, will you please make it a revelation in our hearts that we will receive and help us to understand, so that your name may be glorified in and through our lives, and enable me as your servant, Father, to teach your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says the following. And he, that is God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. All right. If you can find any verse in the Bible that says God created different races, please be free to come and tell me. I would love to know, and I will do this sermon again and change my sermon. All right. But if it's not there, it's because the deceiver is trying to get people to believe something that is not biblical at all. All right. But it's been bombarded. The propaganda has been so strong worldwide that every nation on the face of this planet actually believes it now. This thing has spread like a cancer through the whole of the human race, that people believe that they are divided among color instead of nations made up of different colors in the one nation where God has placed them for the period of time that God decided that they will exist in that specific place. Because ultimately, God is in control over the nations. God is sovereign over the nations. Remember, the word sovereign means that he has a dominion, he has a reign. That means he is sovereign, he's king. God is king over the nations of the earth. So here in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was preaching, he was speaking to the people in Athens. And as you know, the Greeks were the philosophers of those days. They were the clever guys and the clever girls. They were the ones who believed that they were superior. They kind of believed that they were on a little bit of a higher, maybe if they believed in evolution, then they would have believed that they evolved a little higher than everybody else because they were so clever. Sounds very much like the professors and all these clever people in the universities that believe in evolution and they preach evolution as if it is the truth. when in fact they are idiots. They are dumb. They are not idiots, sorry. The Bible calls them fools. No? Those who do not believe in God, they are fools, the Bible teaches. They are actually fools. They are foolish, but they are very clever. The people in Athens were very clever, loved philosophy, loved to philosophize about all kinds of things. And they believed that they were superior to everybody else. And when the Apostle Paul said this to them, he kind of knocked their little foundation. And let me tell you, they had such a small foundation that they were building on, that it was easy to knock it out. And Paul knocked it out with this verse, that God is the one who made from one blood every nation to dwell on the earth. And it is He, God, that has determined their pre-appointed times, so when they will exist, and the boundaries of their dwellings, where they will exist. God has decided those things because He is sovereign over all the nations of the earth. Now, I want you to notice that all the nations of the earth come from one bloodline. You see that? From one blood, which means, it just basically means from one bloodline. That bloodline is Adam. All right. Later on, obviously, we know there was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I was thinking Afrikaans and saying the words in English. That doesn't work out. But anyway, after the flood, and they were the ones who scattered all over the earth. And that's where we get all the nations from those three brothers and their wives. But we know the one blood is the blood of Adam. That's where we come from. There is no other. Except if you believe in evolution, except if you do not believe that God created only two human beings in the beginning, Adam and Eve. So at the end of the day, it's all about what we believe now. Because if you believe that God only created Adam and Eve, then it means there's only one bloodline. But if you believe that we evolved through evolution, then you can get onto your little high horse and think that you are better than somebody else because we come from different lines. Different, like Stefan said, different apes. No? We all have an ape forefather somewhere, and we all come from different apes if we believe in evolution. But if we believe that we come from one bloodline, that one bloodline is Adam, and that's where we come from. Now, if Satan can get people to believe that we are divided among racial lines, then he basically destroys the biblical account that God created one race called the human race. And remember, that's Satan. What he wants to do is he wants to destroy everything about God. Everything that God says and everything that God revealed, Satan wants to destroy it. That's why there is such a thing as evolution. Because evolution is the religion of humanism. People who actually believe they are their own gods. It's basically the old deception of the Garden of Eden, just all over again, because Satan never ever changes his strategy if it works. And it's been working for years and years, and it still works even today. See, if we are different races, then evolution must be true. Because the Bible says we are all of one race, one blood. Evolution says, no, we have different, no. We evolved. It means that God did not create our first parents, Adam and Eve. If God did not create Adam and Eve, guess what? Then sin never entered into the world. Can you see where this is going? See how Satan works this out? All he needs to do is change the narrative. Put the propaganda out there. No, we are different races. Not different nations, different races. And when he puts it out there that we are different races and the people accept that, then he has destroyed the creation narrative, the fact that God created Adam and Eve and sin came into this world through our parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve. And if Adam and Eve did not exist, sin did not exist. If sin did not exist, there is no need for a savior, is there? Which means that the human race can then save themselves. In actual fact, the human race doesn't have a sin problem. We just all have to be good people. And we'll be saved because we are good people. And that's where these people come with this nonsense, Stefan, that where they say that everybody will be saved and go to heaven eventually. Because they do not have an understanding of what the Bible teaches about the problem of sin. See, if race is the dividing factor among people, then the nation of Israel has no significance. Because remember, it was God who called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans, a Gentile nation, Gentile people. God took him and he said, I'm going to make you, Abraham, a new what? Nation. But I mean, he was a Chaldean, wasn't he? So how in the world is it possible for Abraham to become the father of the Jewish nation of Israel? It's because God decided to make a new nation, because God is the one who makes new nations, who puts their time in place and where they're going to dwell. God decides that. But if the division is among racial lines, and we don't care about the nations and the fact that God divided the nations and that God is sovereign over the nations, then Israel has no significance. And if Israel doesn't have any significance, then where did the Messiah come from? He came from the nation of Israel. Eh? I believe at the end of the day, it's a diabolical attack on God and God's redemptive story. You see, ultimately, the division among racial lines rejects everything the Bible teaches about God, about sin, about salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And it was so simple for Satan to do that. He just changed the narrative from God creating nations to people being divided along racial lines. It's a simple change, eh? He just flipped it. But the consequences are enormous. Enormous. Now, another thing is, if we are divided among racial lines, then the Tower of Babel that we read about in Scripture and what happened there isn't really true. Because you remember what happened at the Tower of Babel? What did God do with the one race of people that was there that wanted to climb up and to be like the Most High and to kick God out of heaven, basically? What did God do with them? He changed their languages. And he divided them into language groups. Did he divide them into races? No. He divided them into nations that has different languages. And he scattered them all over the earth. You see, God didn't divide the human race among different races, because there's only one race. He divided them by confusing their languages. And you see, beloved, racial division is foundational in undermining God's sovereignty over the nations, over redemption history, and God's sovereignty over the nations. Race causes division. It's diabolical. But different nations? Yeah, they will always fight one another because they're looking for territory and all that kind of thing. And it's part of what Jesus said, isn't it? One nation will rise up against another. Jesus said it. Because that's the reality. So let's read Acts chapter 17, verse 26 again with this backdrop. And he, God, now you must remember, Paul is speaking to the Greeks in Athens. And I want you to understand, they thought they were superior. They thought that they were special. They were the philosophers. They were very, very clever. And they had their own ideas. And Paul comes and he says, God has made from one blood every nation to dwell of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now, notice, God made every nation that ever existed from one blood. Can you see that? Obviously, it's Adam's blood. We all come from Adam. All right, and because Adam sinned, sin entered into the world, and we all have the same problem. We have a sin problem because of the same blood that flows through all of us, which is Adam's blood. That's why we all have a sin problem. But if evolution is true and racial stuff is true and what Satan was bringing up, then there's no problem. Sin is not an issue. When we do understand that Scripture teaches that sin is the issue, that's why we need a Savior. And without a Savior, we cannot be saved. We cannot save ourselves. There are many nations who dwell on the face of the earth. And when you look at that Greek word for nation, it is the word ethnos, where we get the word ethnicity from. And that word ethnos basically means a multitude. It could be men or beasts, associated or living together. It's a company, a troop, or a swarm. It's a multitude of individuals of the same nature. It is a tribe or a nation or a people group. In the Old Testament, it would refer to those who did not worship the true God. They would be called the nations of the world. God in the Old Testament would speak about Israel, his chosen nation, his chosen people, and then the other nations. All right? Plural. Those nations who were Gentile nations who did not believe. So if you read the Old Testament, you hear about the nations, then you can know it's not Israel. There are Gentile nations that the Old Testament speaks about. Now, a nation is basically a group of people who live together in association with one another, and they normally have a common language of communication so that they communicate with one another. That creates or makes a nation. In South Africa, they are trying to develop what is called the Rainbow Nation. All right? And the one thing they had to do in this Rainbow Nation is to create one language. Yeah? Did you see that? And the communication language of South Africa is English, so that we can become one Rainbow Nation. Because if everybody speaks their own language, how in the world can we understand one another, and how can we come into some sort of an agreement or unity if there's different languages? How can we listen to Parliament and everybody is speaking their own language in Parliament? And of the many languages in South Africa, I can maybe speak two. You know, a language is one of those things that brings people together and creates nations of the earth. Remember, it was God who scattered the nations. Okay. The world is trying to become one. That's why they are creating a one world language, so that all the nations can speak to one another, so that they can rise up against God. Because that's the ultimate purpose of this one world, one world language, one world religion, one world government, one world economic system. They want to rise up against God. And Satan is the orchestrator of all of this. He's behind it, and that's why he brought in race, because that's the catalyst that he uses to create this one world religion and one world government and one world all whatever. All right. Now, God is the one who determines their pre-appointed times, which means the time that a nation will be in a specific area, and the dwelling place, where they will be. So when they will be there, how long they will be there, where they will be staying, God is the one who determines those things. This country can cry out, and the politicians can cry out about a rainbow nation as long as they want, as much as they want. It will never, ever exist unless God decided that South Africa will become a rainbow nation. Because God is the one who appoints nations. God is the one who removes nations. God decides where a nation will live, how long they will live, how much land they will have, and how much land they will occupy. God determines those things. Not apartheid. God does. God is in charge. The nations of the earth are in God's hands. He is sovereign over the nations of the earth. And you get people just like the Greeks that become so arrogant. You have arrogant nations out there. And by the way, I believe that one of those arrogant nations is the United States of America. Very arrogant nation. The Afrikaner nation during the apartheid time was an arrogant nation. They became a nation over a short period of time, and chances are God is busy destroying the Afrikaner nation, even though they try to hold on with everything in them. I'm not a prophet. I'm not prophesying or anything. I'm just saying it's interesting that you will see how things just change all the time. Because God is sovereign over the nations. He puts nations in place and removes them. Turn with me quickly, please, to Jeremiah. And this is where God speaks to Jeremiah the prophet. In chapter 1 is where God calls Jeremiah and he gives him basically his marching orders, what Jeremiah was going to do as a prophet of God. Now remember, a prophet in the Old Testament is a spokesperson for God. God would speak to the prophet in different ways, through dreams and visions, and he would speak audibly. So there's different ways that God would speak to the prophets, and then the prophets had to take the message that comes from God to whoever God sends them to. If the prophet was called for the nation of Israel, that person has to take the message that God brings to the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah's case, God does something amazing. And this is what we read. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Which means before Jeremiah was even a thought, God knew him already. So before any aborted baby has been aborted, God already knew that aborted baby. But you see, it's now a human right for women to kill their children. And the fathers keep quiet because they don't want to take responsibility. It's an easy way out for them. Right, but before, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That means before conception, God knew Jeremiah. And before you were born, I consecrated you, which means I set you apart for a specific purpose. Jeremiah had a calling from God to be a prophet before he was even born. Amazing, eh? Absolutely amazing. I appointed you a prophet, listen to that, to the nations. Verse 6. Then I said, O Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10, and here it comes. He says, see, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build, and to plant. God calls Jeremiah to be a destroyer of nations and to be a builder of nations according to the word of God. That's amazing. So God appoints Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations, and whatever Jeremiah prophesied over a nation or over a kingdom would come to pass because it's God who was speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah was not just appointed as a prophet to Jerusalem or to Israel. He was appointed as a prophet to all the nations, to be a prophetic voice for God to the nations of the earth. Someone said, and I quote, he says, like Jesus, who would come after Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a prophet for more than just his people. He was a prophet for the nations. Jeremiah was called by God to do 6 things. 4 of them negative, 2 of them positive. To pluck up, to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow. Those are the negative ones. But also to build and to plant. But who? The nations. You see, God is not only interested in Israel. This is Old Testament stuff, by the way. God was never just interested in Israel. God has always been interested in all the nations of the earth. There would be times when God would use the Gentile nations to discipline his own people. There were times that God would bless Gentile nations like he blessed Egypt with abundance. And at the end of the day, Israel could go and be provided for during the famine of 7 years. God's eye has always been on the nations. God is a God of the nations because he's sovereign over all nations. The unfortunate thing is that nations do not honor God for being God. Rather than worshiping God and serving God, they would rather serve idols and worship themselves and think that they are something greater than what God has made them to be. All right, so Jeremiah is called by God to plug up. And that word plug up literally means to pluck or to pull up by the roots. So there are times that Jeremiah would speak to a nation and God would uproot that nation. He will actually plug that nation out of the soil and that nation will cease to exist. It's like a tree who has been plugged out. Or to pull them down. And to pull down means that he will tear them down with the purpose to destroy them. So he cuts it down and destroys that nation. And that's Jeremiah. As he prophesies and he tells the nation and he warns the nation, then God will do that. And God says, I have appointed you over the nations to do this. But to destroy, and this is interesting, basically means to perish, to reduce a nation to some degree of disorder, which means that there would be times when Jeremiah would prophesy and a nation that was prophesied over would fall into disorder. Very much like what we are seeing in the world today and the disorder in so many countries. Don't ever think that corruption and the things that we are experiencing in this country is by chance. I believe it's justice that is being served. God is judging the nations. The nation of Israel, the nation of the United States of America is being judged by God because they have forsaken God. They've turned their back on God. And you can see when disorder comes into a country, which is basically, I think, in most of the countries in the world, you can know that God's judgment has fallen upon that nation because God prophesies over the nations and that happens. To overthrow means to utterly destroy something. You know, like overturning an altar of an idol and demolishing it. And this is what God does. God has the sovereign power to remove nations by uprooting them, tearing them down, reducing the nation to some other degree of disorder in that nation, or God can destroy that nation completely. And through the years, we have seen that happen. In Micah chapter 5, verse 11, we read what God said. This is what he said to, he was going to do to the nations that took his people Israel captive. And the nations surrounding Israel, like the Assyrians, he says to them in Micah chapter 5, verse 11, he says, I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. That means the walls around the city. Né? He says, I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no soothsayers. Your carved images I will also cut off, and your sacred pillars from your midst. You shall no more worship the work of your own hands. I will pluck your wooden images from your midst. Thus I will destroy your cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury on the nations that have not heard. You see, God is the one who plucks up, who pulls down, who overthrows, who destroys. Because God is sovereign over the nations. God is the one who takes cities down and destroy those cities. God decides how he's going to do it. Sometimes it's through an earthquake, sometimes it's through fire, sometimes it's through another nation. There's different ways of God judging the nations if they continue in their idol worship. And idol worship, you know, is anything that is worshipped besides the only true living God of the Bible. And let me tell you, I don't think there's a nation on the face of this planet that worships God. There are people in nations who worship God. But the nations of the earth have turned their back on God. And they are worshiping their idols of silver and gold, carved images, ancestors. You can go on and on and on and on. They've turned their back on God. And God normally immediately starts with judgment once a nation turns their back on him. God will judge that nation. The ultimate judgment, obviously, is coming, but we can already see God's judgment. And God's judgment, part of it is in disorder judgment. If a country embraces homosexuality, that nation is already under God's judgment. If the LGBTQ community is embraced, that's already God's judgment. If there's disorder in a country, that's already God's judgment upon the nation. That means that God has given that nation over and he's judging that nation already. It's heartbreaking. But Scripture clearly teaches it. Just go and read Romans chapter 1 and you will see what I'm talking about. Beloved, through the prophet Micah, God announces judgment over all the nations who worship idols, who oppress God's people, Israel. And you see, God is sovereign over the nations. So when God speaks through the prophets of the Old Testament, he normally did what he said, because he is the king over all the nations of the earth. He even uprooted his own people, Israel, from their land when they were disobedient to him, because he is sovereign, he's God, he's king over Israel. Whether they rejected him or not, and whether they wanted another king, God stays supreme over Israel. He stays supreme over all the nations. And here in our passage, going back to Jeremiah, Jeremiah as a prophet is called by God to uproot, to plug up nations. And whatever God spoke to Jeremiah would happen. And when Jeremiah spoke, God did what he instructed Jeremiah to say. Beloved, and I believe, in a sense, if I had to take what God said to Jeremiah, that he called them as a prophet to the nations, I believe that God is calling us as the church to be a prophetic voice to the nations. That we should warn the nations of the earth. Those who have wandered far from God, that they should return to God, that they should repent and return to God and start worshiping the God of the Bible, because he's the only true God. There is no other God. I believe that we are called to share the good news of the gospel so that people can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be saved for all eternity. We are called as prophets, not prophets like Jeremiah in the office of prophet, but more as a prophetic voice to speak the truth of God's word to the nations, so that the nations can be warned the way that God called Jeremiah to warn the nations. And you remember what happened to Jeremiah? Did he have a wonderful time? Did Jeremiah live in luxury all his life and enjoyed a good time because he was willing to speak out against the nations? Nope. Not even his own people liked him. But still, he was obedient to God's call to be a voice to the nations. And I believe we need to be a voice to the nations, telling them the good news, obviously. Preach the gospel, but also warn the nations of God's judgment, because God is a consuming fire. Nothing and no one will stand before him. And no politician, no nation building, nothing that is in the figment of somebody's imagination is going to help any nation to survive God's judgment, except repentance and receiving forgiveness from the King of Kings himself. We read in Isaiah chapter 40, another major prophet in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 15 says, "Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on their scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust." Verse 17 says, "All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness." Isaiah 40, verse 15 and 17. The nations, in comparison to the Almighty God, is as nothing. If it's not for God's grace, God will destroy everything in his path. But there's always mercy, and that's the wonderful thing about God. God shows his mercy that he calls a prophet in the Old Testament to go and warn the nations, and he's calling the church today to go and warn the nations and warn the peoples of the earth that we should repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. You see, God can destroy, He can pluck up a nation. He can throw a nation into chaos and disorder. And he can pull nations down. It is in God's hands. We read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, what God said to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel. Nah? He said the following. He says, "You, O king, are the king of kings." And then these beautiful words, "For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory." Nebuchadnezzar could have sat there and said, "Oh, look at me, the most powerful nation on the face of this planet." Daniel comes along and says, "Hey, king, God has given it to you. This comes from God." And Daniel could have added, I'm adding this, "And if God put you in place as the king of kings, of all the kings of the earth at that stage, he can take you down, he can destroy you. Because God is ultimately in control, and God has to be acknowledged." See, the only reason why Nebuchadnezzar was a king of kings at that stage was because God gave him a kingdom and power and strength and glory. If God didn't give it to him, he would have nothing. Because God is sovereign over the nations and over the kingdoms of the earth. He appoints kings, he removes kings, he establishes nations, and he removes nations. Remember when I preached on Psalm 2? You remember the words of Psalm 2? Verse 1 says, "The kings of the earth set themselves..." it starts in verse 1. It says, "Why do the nations rage, and the people plot in vain a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" Which means, let us break away from God. Why would the nations do that? Why would the kings do that? And then we read, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure." Because the nations are under God's control, whether it looks like it or not, whether we believe it or not. The reality is God is God. You see, countries think that they're going to exist forever. It's like the previous president of this country that said that the ANC will exist until Jesus returns. That kind of arrogance brings you to a fall. Never ever stand up against the God of creation. He doesn't know when Christ is going to return. How in the world can he say the ANC will exist until then? That's arrogance. In the 20th century, quite a few countries, and let me just give you a few. Tibet was no longer in existence in 1951. Ceylon in 1972. Czechoslovakia in 1993. And East Germany in 1990. They no longer exist. They're no longer there. Remember when God sent Israel into the promised land, into Canaan? What did he say about the nations that was in Canaan? The Hivites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites. Well, I don't think it's Perizzites, but it sounds like Perizzites. So I can't pronounce the word. The Ammonites. What happened to those nations? They were either destroyed or they were consumed into other nations and they became part of other nations. See, because that's what God does. He merges nations together or he just destroys a nation. Because he's God, he's sovereign over the nations. Don't play with him. God is God. There is none other like him, never was and never will be in all eternity. The nations of the earth can do whatever they want, say whatever they want. God will always have the last word because he is sovereign over all the nations of the earth. But not only, and this is, I'm closing, not only was Jeremiah called by God to plug up and to pull down and to destroy and to overthrow nations, God called Jeremiah to build and to plant nations. You see, when a nation gets planted by God, when God builds that nation from nothing, like what God did with Abraham, God called one man, out of a Gentile nation where idols were worshipped. What was the reason, the purpose that God called Abraham? Because God wanted to create a nation that would worship him and him alone. A nation that would honor God, and that's why God brings nations into existence, that those nations can fall on their knees and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what do nations normally do? Because that's in human nature. They become arrogant against God. They get deceived by the devil, and at the end of the day, they create everything and revolve. Everything has to revolve around them, and they forget God, who has actually made them a nation, given them the land, given them whatever they need to be a nation to glorify him. There has been many nations through the ages who started off with God and ended with nothing. So heartbreaking. But God is the one who plants nations. God is the one who brings them into existence. God is the one who builds a nation, because he blesses nations that bows before him as the living Almighty God. And therefore, you and I, as a prophetic voice to the nations in South Africa, we can cry out. And you remember that God established the nations, contrary to what is being said today. Most of the nations came from the north. Eh? Everybody that's in South Africa now came from up very north. And why do I say that? Because the Tower of Babel is up there. You remember that's where everybody was, and God confused the languages and then spread them all over the earth? Nobody was in South Africa, by the way. Nobody. We all came from the same place. Our forefathers came from the same place. Sem, Ham, and Japheth came from the same place. And that's where the nation spread all over the earth. And today, in South Africa, we have the proud Zulu nation. Xhosa nation, Sotho nation, we have the Afrikaner nation, we've got the British, we've got in Europe, we've got the Dutch, and we've got the whatever, all kinds of nations. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to acknowledge God, worship him and him alone. And if they reject him, God will plug them out, destroy them. If it's not now, it's going to happen at one time, because this earth is going to be destroyed by fire. God's judgment will come upon the earth. I want to close again with the words of Acts chapter 17. We read, "And he, that is God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of all the face of the earth. And he determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." You see, beloved, if there's one thing that we can be sure of, it is this biblical revelation. That God is indeed sovereign over all the nations of the earth. Whether we believe it or not, he is sovereign over the nations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can learn, and I mean, I've touched the tip of the iceberg with all these, everything that you've revealed in Scripture and how you're in control of the nations. And it seems as if even us as believers sometimes forget that you are sovereign. You are in control. You have sovereign control over the existence of nations. You can remove them, you can build them, you can destroy them, you can put them in place. You decide how long, where they will stay, when they will be there, because you are sovereign. And Father, we want to acknowledge that this morning and worship you as the sovereign Almighty God. We want to glorify you and praise you for who you are. And I want to pray this morning, Lord, the word that has gone out, it's in weakness. It is through someone who is so much in need of you, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. May your word, the word that you send out, that it may accomplish that which you send it out to accomplish. And may my words just fade into nothingness, so that you may glorify yourself in and through your word. And now, Father, as we partake of communion, thank you so much that we have Christ, our Lord and Savior, who paid the ultimate penalty for our sin, who died on that cursed tree so that we may have life and that life more abundantly. Thank you that we can acknowledge him and acknowledge what you have done for us. Thank you, Father. May your name be glorified as well as we commemorate the Lord's table this morning and be reminded of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name.